You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Here's some trivia to start off the show. Who leads the NBA in Basketball Reference's individual defensive rating? Rudy Gobert? Nope, he's number two. Draymond Green? He's number three. And those are the two guys who I think deserve to be one and two in the Defensive Player of the Year race. I'd probably favor Gobert over Draymond right now, but it's close. There's still another month almost left in the season. There's still time for Green to catch him. But those are the top two guys I see in the race as far as on merit. Who's going to get it? I think Kawhi Leonard will get a lot of credit, probably more than he deserves. He's still an excellent defender, but maybe not up to his elite standards. Not quite as good as he was last year or the year before because he's doing so much more offensively. There's no shame in that. It's good for the Spurs. The balance he's striking, he's still very good. But I don't think he's right up there with Gobert and Draymond Green. And by the way, Kawhi Leonard is not leading the league in Basketball Reference individual defensive rating. Who's number one? Andre Drummond. The Pistons owned Andre Drummond. And there's, I think, been a tendency to read too much into that by some people, especially Pistons fans who want to see nice things for the Pistons, nice things for Andre Drummond. And there's been a little buzz about Andre Drummond winning Defensive Player of the Year because he leads the league in this statistic. Now, I'm not a big believer in this stat in particular. I'll get more into that in a minute. But one of the best ways to measure a stat to tell how good it is see how it matches your eye test. It's not the only thing. But look it, if this stat says that Rudy Gobert and Draymond Green are top defenders, that's correct. So if it says Andre Drummond is an even better defender, does that make it wrong, or does that mean we're wrong about the eye test of Andre Drummond? It's an interesting place in his rank, where he ranks in this. I just don't really subscribe to this stat, and it goes back deeper where, yes, this year it passes the eye test at 2 and 3. It very much, to me, does not at number one. I don't think Andre Drummond's one of the top 10 defenders in the league right now. Not sure exactly where he ranks, but I don't think he's really close to number one, and I don't think he is, and there are a lot of examples of where a statistic will say something that doesn't quite match your eye test, so you look more closely, you watch more closely, try to understand it better, and maybe your eye test was wrong. It can cause you to take a second look. I don't think that's the case here. I've already had plenty of looks at Andre Drummond. I've looked at him even more closely since I saw this stat, and so I think with that and with years of looking at this stat, I don't find it super reliable. So what is defensive rating? This is where it gets kind of confused, because when people use defensive rating for an individual, it's often meant to be the team's defensive rating with that individual on the court. Now, this Basketball Reference individual defensive rating, this is something a little different. It's something put together years and years ago by Dean Oliver, and the idea behind this Basketball Reference defensive rating, and maybe I shouldn't be crediting Basketball Reference for coming, like, the definition of it. It did come from Dean Oliver's famous Basketball on Paper, and it was ahead of its time when he came out with it, way ahead of its time. But the idea is, how well do players defend the possessions they defend? So it's not based on necessarily, at least ideally, in theory, how good the team is defensively, what's going on around the player. It's how well did you get stops when it was your responsibility to get a stop? And the only way to judge when it was your responsibility to get a stop is if you did something that shows up in the box score. If you grabbed a defensive rebound, if you block a shot, if you steal the ball, those are the markers of a stop. And then everything else is estimated from that. It's how good is the team defense? Okay. If you block a lot of shots, get a lot of defensive rebounds, get a lot of steals, you're probably more important to the team defense, so you'll get more credit. And then everything else around that is estimated, and I guess including that, how much credit you deserve. I think we can see watching the Pistons that Andre Drummond, the ways he's good at defense, often results in a block, in a defensive rebound, in a steal. He does not contribute that much defensively. It's not nothing. but he doesn't contribute that much defensively without racking up those statistics. The estimates are going to say, hey, if he's doing all those things, he's probably doing other things right too. And in this case, that's just not exactly the case. He's not doing a good enough job of contesting shots, of pressuring the guards on pick and rolls. He's not doing a lot of those things that don't show up in the box score. He's doing the things that show up in the box score, getting credit for them. But that's so little of defense. Our defensive measures are not very good right now. They're just not. Steals, blocks, they're important, but they're not going to tell you everything. So if you estimate everything else based on that, you're going to come up short often. And I think this is a case where Andre Drummond comes through the gaps. So the other kind of defensive rating that is useful but is very different is the way I think it's more commonly used, but these do get mixed up, is the team's defensive rating with that player on the court. How many points per 100 possessions does the team allow with that player on the court and with the team off? For the Pistons, for Andre Drummond, Pistons allow 108.3 points per 100 possessions with him on the court. That's not very good. They allow 99.7 points per 100 possessions when he sits. That's excellent. The Pistons have defended way better when he is on the bench. That does not make him a bad defender. Some of this is matchups. He starts, he plays against the other team's best players. He spends a lot of his minutes doing that. It's not as if the Pistons could plug in Aaron Baines, who the team has defended better with when he's on the court, and expect the same results. Drummond faces tougher tasks. Baines does a better job of filling his role than Drummond does of filling his defensively. Baines' role is way easier. He's playing fewer minutes, he doesn't have to do as much, and he's playing more often against backups. It is an easier role. If you switched it, I think you'd get far worse results. Drummond would do better in Baines' role than Baines is doing, and Baines would do way worse, and overall the team would be worse. Drummond takes on that responsibility. But we can take an even deeper look at it, and as far as individual defensive metrics, here's the one I like the most. It's defensive real plus minus by ESPN, which is essentially what we're sort of talking about here. How well does the team defend when he's on? How well does the team defend when he's off? But the catch is, it's going to be adjusted for who else is on the floor. Who are Drummond's teammates? Are they good defenders? Who is he playing against? Are they good offensive players? So it's going to be adjusted for that. And that's tricky to do, and I don't think we do that perfectly. Real plus minus is not perfect. But as far as an individual single catch-all defensive metric, I think it's the best one, which is not to say it's great, but the best of what we have. And Andre Drummond is 74th in the league. I think he's better than that. He's not first. I know that. He is not the best defender in the league. I think he's somewhere between first and 74th, which is obviously a huge range, but not in defensive player of the year race. So what does Drummond do that overrates him so much defensively? Like, why is there this disconnect between his stats, his defensive stats, and his defensive ability? Because for a lot of players, you see it with Gobert, you see it with Green, who are 2 and 3 on that individual defensive rating list. Those things are indicators of how good you actually are defensively. So what's the disconnect with Drummond? We're going to get a little deeper into that. But first, I want to talk to you about SeatGeek. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, use it all the time to check for tickets to shows and concerts. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life a little easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is graded based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LO Pistons. That's LO as in locked on Pistons. LO Pistons. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LOPistons today. one of the biggest things Andre Drummond does that shows up in the box score defensively that doesn't truly reflect defensive impact, at least how these statistics, this individual defensive rating on Basketball Reference, doesn't truly capture the correct impact, I don't think, is grab defensive rebounds. There are diminishing returns on defensive rebounds. And here's the thought exercise I like to use while watching games. Watch a rebound. Watch an average defensive rebound, and you'll watch enough of them, you'll start to see this. Imagine the player who grabbed that rebound just wasn't there. Just wasn't there. He was off the court. Who would grab that rebound? Is it one of his teammates? Is it somebody on the other team? And I think you'll find how often it's one of his teammates, that one of his teammates would have gotten it. There are diminishing returns on defensive rebounds. There's value in defensive rebounds. You need to secure those, but you need to secure them as a team. It's not important that you are the player who gets it. And we've sort of hit an era where teams are valuing transition defense. So they're not hitting the offensive glass. Offensive rebounding is at an all-time low. And it's not because players are bad at offensive rebounding. It's because there's not a commitment to it. The strategy has changed. Smart teams have learned. I don't know if they're correct, but enough smart teams do it where I tend to believe they are, that it is better to get back on defense than to crash the offensive glass. So you grab a defensive rebound. One, that's not even a huge accomplishment because the challenge of an offensive player going for it often isn't there. Here's the other big catch with defensive rebounds. You have to force a miss to get one. Every defensive rebound that Andre Drummond grabs, somebody forced a miss. Now, sometimes that's Drummond, and he deserves some credit for that. But a lot of times it's his teammates. KCP, in particular, is a very good perimeter defender. Forces players into tough shots, into misses. Those misses should not all be going to Drummond in terms of credit, just because he grabs the defensive rebound. That's an important step. It's the last step. It's not the only step. Inducing that shot, contesting that shot, that's also a big part of it. And I think too often the defensive rebounder gets the credit. That's just completing the last step. Important step, but just the last step. And then there's Drummond's rim protection. He's not always right in the right spots, always rotating exactly quick enough. He's gotten a little better. There's been some progress. But sometimes there's maybe a little bit of laziness, low energy, where it's not there. When he gets there, he's really good at blocking shots. He moves his feet pretty well on the perimeter. He can go get steals when he goes after it. And that's what led to this Stan Van Gundy quote. This is how big the buzz for Andre Drummond for Defensive Player of the Year gets. Not that this is the highest bar or anything, but it got to the point where Stan Van Gundy was asked about it. And here's his answer via Keith Langlois of Pistons.com. Quote, "I think he has that potential. I think that's a goal he should set for himself. He's got the size and the quickness and everything else to be a guy who could be that level as a Defensive Player of the Year. And if he played every game the way he's played the last four, okay. But he hasn't done it enough. I'm just being honest. He hasn't done it enough to be in that discussion." End quote. Gotta love Van Gundy's honesty. I don't think he's trying to go out of his way to talk up Andre Drummond. I think some of this we could see at the trade deadline. That was my theory on it. You can go back and listen to the show the day after the trade deadline. My theory was basically that, yeah, the Pistons listen to talks on trades just like they always would, just like all teams do. But Van Gundy sort of hyped that up a little more. He didn't quash the rumors like he might have in previous years. He didn't hide the idea that anybody could be traded. In fact, he played it up a little bit, that anybody could be traded. Because I think he wants to instill a little bit of edge in this team, not let this team become content. And I think a lot of that is for Andre Drummond. So yeah, you can dangle this carrot out there that, yeah, you could be Defensive Player of the Year. But right now, Van Gundy's not going to endorse him for that. There's not going to be this favoritism to talk up his own player. Now, it helps that Van Gundy is right, that he doesn't have to twist this at all. Of course, Andre Drummond shouldn't be Defensive Player of the Year. He's not close. And a lot of it is for that reason. He has the talent. He has the tools to maybe get in that race one day. It's too late for this year. He's already spent too much of the year not always giving bad effort, but we're talking about the very best defensive player in the league. For Andre Drummond to win that, it's going to have to be very high effort a lot more often. He can't make that up in the last month. He can show it. He could set himself up for next year. You know, a lot of this is about hype and the narrative. And if Drummond really steps it up defensively the rest of the year and helps the Pistons secure a playoff spot, that could set it up for next year. He could go into the season as a more credible candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see Andre Drummond play that way more often. It's going to take more focus, more commitment, more energy. I think he could be up to that challenge, but he has to show it. So while all of this is way premature, I don't think Andre Drummond is anywhere near the Defensive Player of the Year discussion. But he does have the tools. It is worth exploring his defense a little more in depth. Hope we did that some today. He'll have a chance to show it against the Cavs tonight. Not necessarily the toughest individual matchup for him going against Tristan Thompson, though keeping Tristan Thompson off the offensive glass, there's skill in that. He's a player who crashes the offensive glass. This is not a perfect example of a game where this is where the league's trending, where nobody hits the offensive glass. Tristan Thompson hits the offensive glass. Maybe he'll be matched up with some with Channing Frye, who's a stretch big. That'll be a big challenge for Andre Drummond. There are going to be opportunities for Drummond to play to his strengths and weaknesses. And that's what he's going to need. He's going to need to do both to get into this Defensive Player of the Year race next year or beyond. It's going to be about him really thriving, maximizing his strengths, and having his weaknesses not be so bad. This game will show us a little bit of both. We'll talk more about the game tonight, tomorrow. We're here every Monday through Friday. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audioboom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.